Refugees and asylum seekers, this is something that's very close to my heart. And as I was watching Al Jazeera last night, it was heartbreaking to hear around 140,000 people around the borders of Libya at this point in time, all seeking safer ways of living. So I really wanted to take a look at this on this morning's program. As I see it, it is an issue that is affecting the whole world, whether you live in a safe country or whether you live in a country that is troubled. It is an issue for governments all over the world in how to deal with this. Of course, we're seeing a lot of news coming out of Italy at the moment, how they're dealing with the many refugees that are coming onto their shores. But I think the fallout from this current situation really just works on an existing major situation for governments around the world, and that is how to deal with refugee resettlement. It does raise the question, how much of an issue do you think this is to the global community? If you have any first-hand experience and you feel comfortable to share that with us on the program, we would really love to hear from you. Or if you would simply just like to share some views, please do feel free to contribute to the discussion this morning. And from Dr. Raymond, from you this morning, it would be great if we could delve into a deeper understanding of these issues and the psychological issues that are on both sides of the equation here. What are the concerns and considerations from each side, from the refugees and the people fleeing these countries to the people in very safe countries who can tend to, at times, some groups will show very right-wing approaches to accepting refugees, and of course the issues for governments.
Sometimes governments are very warm and welcoming of refugees from various countries. However, there are times that people are under suspicion, and that is not because of the individual, but because of the country from where the individual may be leaving or escaping. There's always concern, does a person have good mental health, or are they going to be a burden on the host country? And also, suspiciously, are they set up to come to their host country because the country of origin's government is looking to put in spies in various places to spy on the host country? So there's a lot of suspicious things that go on, and many times people who are in the field of psychology, not necessarily forensic psychology, but clinical psychology, are asked to do evaluations on these individuals by the host country. And it depends on where they are and what is the relationship with the country of origin as to how these people will be handled. Now, not everybody gets locked up, but unfortunately, too many do, because it's safer to lock people up until you know who they are than it is to give them a choice of freedom. And if they're going to do something bad, they're free to do so. So, unfortunately, we're living in a world where people do have to be suspicious, unfortunately, and people do have to take certain precautions. Now, in certain situations, people will seek asylum for various reasons. It could be because of various kinds of personal orientation. It could be for political reasons or economic reasons. It could be family origin. It could be just because of their namesake that they can't survive in a particular location. It could be because of economic situations that are maybe disasters that are, for instance, man-made, as well as natural disasters. And that also will take a role in how the new host country is going to pose their views on that individual or that group. When I was practicing mostly in Washington, D.C. back in the 80s, actually that was one of my jobs, because I was consulting with the D.C. government. And if you recall, you might be old enough to recall that, but there was a Cuban evacuation at that time. A lot of people came into Miami, but of course a lot also came to Washington, D.C. So my job was to actually evaluate individuals to determine their mental health, but also to determine whether they might be up to no good. So I was looking for several aspects concerning that individual. Interestingly, most of them did speak English, but those who spoke Spanish, we would have translators who would be translating Cuban Spanish in those kind of situations. And this is not a commentary on Cuba or Cubans. It just happens to be that was one of the countries. But we also did the same thing for the Haitians who were also evacuating or brought for medical assistance to the United States. Many of them, of course, went into some of the Gulf of Mexico countries, but a lot of them did go to Washington, D.C. Even today, many times psychologists are asked to do evaluations on individuals who are seeking asylum not just in the United States, but elsewhere in the world. Every country seems to have different laws, and it's not just governed on their diplomatic ties with another country. It may also be governed by certain rules that are to be abided by all people who are seeking asylum, regardless of what reason it is.
It does raise the question of your thoughts. How do you perceive what's going on in the world at the moment? And is it the international community's responsibility? I think for the most part, a lot of people would agree that it is the international community's responsibility when people are having to flee their countries for safe havens, for safer and stable countries. If you would like to contribute to the discussion, as I said, 4001 is the text number. Yesterday, Dr. Raymond, I posted this question on Twitter in the afternoon, and the question was, in 2011, locking asylum seekers up is not a solution and not aligned to the values of a humane society. Agree or disagree? That was the question that I posted. I received an interesting tweet back from someone who's following me. I don't know if they're male or female, but they live in Europe. That's all that I know. They said, when asylum seekers seek to reap the benefits associated to humane values and cause trouble, they're not asylum seekers. Given they are given the chance to live a new life, 99% of the time they'll abuse the system and take more than the citizens who worked hard to earn their rights. I'm from a country where asylum seekers abuse their privileges and the EU can do nothing about it. Those seekers won't go looking for a job and choose to live off the government benefits. So it is understandable why the authorities do what they must do, not to anger their own people. I just hope the best for both. How would you receive that?
People will seek asylum for different reasons, and there needs to be a clear separation between those who are seeking asylum and those who are illegal aliens that are crossing the border without any kind of acknowledgement, but sneaking in to a particular country. Now, my familiarity more than anywhere else, of course, is the United States, and the country that is south of the United States had, back in the 1980s, statistics were showing 1,500 people a day were coming into Los Angeles alone. 1,500 people a day were coming into Los Angeles alone from the country that's south of the United States. Now, that's not talking about people who are legally seeking asylum. In the way that people legally seek asylum, they'll contact the State Department saying, I need to have this kind of assistance. Would you please consider it? And the State Department responds, as a Ministry of State in other countries would. So there's a difference between illegal aliens and those who are seeking asylum. And again, asylum could be for political reasons, economic reasons, or for various personal preference kinds of reasons. Now, psychologically, everybody needs a sense of belonging. Everybody needs, before they even reach that sense of belonging, they need to find a way to provide and support their families. So people need food, water, and shelter. Some people come from such economic devastations, they'll do anything that they have to do to provide resources for their loved ones to have food, water, and shelter. After that comes that sense of belonging. And of course, I'm referring to Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. The first thing is food and water. Then there's shelter. And then there's a sense of belonging before you get to self-esteem, self-actualization. And before he died, Abraham Maslow added on transcendence. But that's more of a spiritual understanding of life. So what we see, whether it's a war-torn country, whether it's asylum seekers, whether it's people who are devastated in many different ways, they're going to always be first securing food and water, then shelter, and then that sense of belonging. Now let's look at the asylum folks. Asylum folks could have stayed in their country of origin, usually, would have had food, water, and shelter, but may have been subject to various kinds of ostracization by their community or illegal concerns that were interpreted by their behavior, by their country, which means that they couldn't survive because certain things that may seem to be illegal in one country may not be in another. So what they're finding then is they need a sense of belonging. They need a sense of community, which tells us that when we look at countries around the world, which ones actually express human integrity, human dignity, the freedom of thinking, feelings, behavior. Those are the countries where people don't try to escape from. Those are countries that people seek because they get some kind of a sense of belonging, not some frightened sense of belonging in other countries. And right now we're seeing across parts of the world where people are in upheaval against their governments. Now, why didn't they say anything before? Well, some people are saying it's media that was covering one country who went into action against their government. And that gave rise in another country, because all of a sudden it's almost like that bystander phenomena where you don't do anything when you know somebody needs help unless you see others doing it. Well, here's a similar situation where you know that there's something wrong and you want to do something, but you don't have guts enough to do it unless you see somebody else doing the same thing. So you kind of jump on the bandwagon.
I suppose it shows that it can be done. That's the thing. I guess when you're living in a headspace where it's impossible, there's nothing that can be done, when you see it being done, there's this belief that, yes, it is possible.
Dysfunctional nations is one of the answers to why these things are happening. When a country's government does not treat its people fairly, with dignity and integrity, but they discriminate one group of people from another, whether it's because of political differences or religious differences or even gender differences, what we find is people will not feel comfortable. They don't feel that they belong. They'll always feel a sense of distress, not just stress, but distress, because it takes away from that human need to belong. So when there's that opportunity to rebel, there will be the rebellion, because eventually people who have been oppressed means that those same people fear being rejected, abandoned, and neglected. Well, you can look at the same dysfunctionality in families. The only difference between families and governments is nothing. It's the same pattern. It's just the setting. So dysfunctionality of a family and dysfunctionality of a government actually is one and the same. The members of that family or the citizens of that country will fear that they're not going to be treated fairly. So therefore, they fear being rejected, abandoned, or neglected. That is not the human sense of belonging. It is innate to have a sense of belonging. It is not something you learn. People are born with that sense of wanting to belong, that sense of harmony, that sense of community. It's a natural human phenomena. A lot of people are arguing it, but frankly, it's only academic. People are born to be good. People are born to belong. Now, once I've said that, I will also tell you, there are certain genetic situations where people may have inherited genetics for criminology. And there's even some rules out there now where we know some of the genes that are involved in this, but in no way does it mean if there's a problem with that gene in an individual that that person definitely going to be a criminal. There could be hundreds of genetic factors involved. Recently, there was a television documentary done on one of the academic networks that talks about, we found the reason for criminals, and they cited the MAOA gene. Now, this particular gene is not going to be the one that says this person is definitely a criminal. So it's a monoamine oxide. So what happens then is that it was misrepresented in the documentary. It made it look like all criminals now can get that treatment for that particular MAOA, and there won't be criminals anymore. Well, that was the wrong kind of broadcasting. It gave the wrong information, and is certainly not sufficient enough to say, here's what causes a person to be criminal, but it's enough information to say, here is a possible genetic feature. So people are born good, but there are also people that have some genetic makeup that is inherited. That could mean that not all people are born good.
On this morning's program, the theme of today is looking at refugees. Of course, as we see the news coming out, particularly of Libya at this point in time, tens of thousands of people continuing to flee the violence, and the United Nations Refugee Agency is saying that the situation on the borders is reaching crisis point. Some reports are saying 14,000 people made it across one of the borders, Tunisia and Libya, on Monday of this week. On Al Jazeera last night, they were saying the total number of people fleeing on these on all the borders adds up to around 140,000, a shocking figure, adding to an existing global issue when it comes to people fleeing troubled areas for safer countries. How much of an issue do you believe it is for the global community? And if you have any first-hand experience, if you feel comfortable to share that with us, or just to share some views with us on the topic, please do feel free to contribute.